Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Thank you for your help. If you'll excuse me now, I think I'll go have a nervous breakdown.
I'm so scared. I wish I had a ham sandwich to calm my nerves.
Oh, Lord, I'm on the verge of a nervous meltdown.
I'm Jim Burns. If you've ever found yourself with too much to do and not enough time to do it, you have experienced stress. But not all stress is bad. In fact, sometimes stress can help you see an unhealthy pattern in your life that you need to address and correct. Managing stress isn't easy, but it can be done. And during the next half hour, I'll continue my conversation with Deborah Smith Pagay. She's a popular speaker and author, but she also understands how difficult the demands of modern life can be. In fact, she recently left a very lucrative position as the chief financial officer of a major organization simply because she felt that the stress of that job was keeping her from walking in her purpose that God intended for her. You'll be inspired by her story today on Homeward, so keep it right here.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Hey, do you dream of completing your college degree? Did you put in a lot of time when you were younger and now you're in your 40s or 50s and wondering if you can finish this off? Azusa Pacific offers several online accelerated degree completion programs. Some can be completed in as little as 12 months. Okay, if you'd like more information on that, go to homeward.com if you're not there already and hit the APU button. Now, of course, that does add a little bit of stress to your workload if you're going to school again. That's one of many things that can add stress to your life. Learning to control the stress in your life is our theme today here on the Homeward Broadcast. Privileged to have author Deborah Smith Pagay with us once again. And now with the opener of today's program, here's Jim Burns.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today is a continuing conversation with Deborah Smith Pagay. We're talking about learning to control the stress in your life. Last program, good program, as we talked about how to practically deal with stress. So many of us have so much stress. You know, pressures in life are inevitable. But stress is a byproduct of feeling as though you don't have the resources to cope with the daily pressures of life. But it is possible to learn to manage stress, and that's what we're going to talk about all day today. Deborah is a popular conference speaker, prolific author. She's written some great books, 30 Days to Taming Your Tongue, 30 Days to Taming Your Finances, Conquering Insecurity, Secrets to a More Confident You, as well as a great book on conflict, Managing Conflict God's Way. Now, today we're talking out of her book, 30 Days to Taming Your Stress. Deborah, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, and I'm ready to walk in peace. I know everybody out there is.
You know what? That's what people want. But there's not a whole lot of people that are doing it.
I know that. And you know what? When Jesus left here, he said, you know, my peace I leave with you. You know, not like the world gives, but I want to give you peace. And so I want people to begin to enter that level of peace. Mm-hmm. There's somewhere in the Bible it talks about you have to labor to enter into his rest. You got to work hard at keeping your peace.
It's interesting to say that because there is a intentionality about de-stressing your life. When you say labor, you say that scripture again.
You have to labor to enter into his rest.
Yeah, that's a good thing for many of us to know because I think there's a lot of families. Actually, they have had their marriage crumble or they have strained relationships with their own children because of the stress factor. And I think you even said in your book that between 75 to 90% of visits to a doctor's office are stress related. That's amazing.
That's right. And it's all within our control. When I say that's within our control, we have to learn how to, I call it manage my sanity. And whatever that takes, if that means sometimes if I'm just avoiding people who are stressful, I have to take steps to deliberately manage my sanity so that I walk in that kind of peace. And I monitor it. I look at these stressors all the time and said, what can I do with this? And so I'm monitoring that. Sometimes I do avoid people. It's okay. We are not commanded to be in relationship with everybody.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that I got out of your book was you said delegation is a big deal and an important thing, and we need to learn how to delegate. You actually had your mom, if I'm not mistaken, delegate to you dinner for like 9 family members.
Oh, absolutely. But you know what? That helps in a family because a lot of times the children need to learn responsibility early on, and it gives them something to do, but some not just busy work, but something to learn a level of responsibility. And so I don't care if they don't wash the dishes very well. At least they're trying to wash dishes.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a great comment because I think a lot of families will say, we want you to make your bed, and then they'll go back and remake the bed because it wasn't done well. I worry about that because, you know, what are they going to do when they're adults? They're,
absolutely.
You know, mommy's not going to be there to, you know, make the bed for them as adults. It's going to affect their relationship with their spouse.
Well, and it's going to be self-sabotage on your part because all you need to do is say, now, next time, let's straighten this up. You know, maybe it should be even and just come back and show the person how to do it. But people do that at work as well. Moms who work, dads who work, they'll just go and just redo it. And somehow or another, they get to thinking that they're the only ones who can do it this way perfectly when that perfectionism will just get you crazy.
Yeah. In your book, you talk about expectations.
Oh.
A lot of times we have way too many expectations, and our own expectations actually cause us to have too much stress in our life.
Absolutely. And that's why I say evaluate those expectations. And I didn't say abandon them, but some expectations you need to look at. And many times you may not be the best person to decide if that's a reasonable expectation. Mm-hmm. But whatever the expectation is of every significant person in your life, what are my expectations of my husband? What are my expectations of my girlfriend, my child? What are my expectations? Is that reasonable?
Yeah. No.
And then a lot of times even expectations are either unreasonable or uncommunicated.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we have those kind of expectations, especially of a spouse, and we'll say, right. Well, he should know that.
Right.
I shouldn't have to tell him that. Well, my golly, tell him, because he'll
absolutely.
Probably not know if you don't tell him.
I appreciate you saying that.
Yes.
I say that to people all the time. And in fact, Kathy has said that to me. I've said that to Kathy. One of the things I say about kids is express your expectations to the kids. They really do want to please, but they just can't read you. And literally, they're kids. They don't have the ability
right.
to think through that. So one of the things that I loved in your book, and we talked about it last time just a little bit, but you said that expectations will keep you locked up in what you called should's prison. You
yes.
talked about Shouldville.
Yes.
Now we're introducing should's prison. What's that?
Well, it's the prison of where things should happen, and you've locked yourself in. Rather
yeah.
than communicating, you're still thinking they should know. Mm-hmm. Nobody should have to walk in discernment to get along with you on a daily basis. It's okay, because you see, an adult
that's
is really supposed
good.
To be working himself out of a job. Think
right.
about that.
Right.
That's what a parent should be doing,
right.
working himself out of a job. Because
right.
at some point, you're trying to get these children to the point where they don't need to be parented.
Right.
And so that's why you show them, you model that kind of expression of expectations so that they'll know how that looks.
Right. Right. You know, one of the things, and I think this deals with stress, we deal with a lot of folks who are single parents, a lot of folks who actually don't have a lot of money. And they're saying, my situation is that my, you know, I'm just make this up, but, you know, my husband pretty much deserted us. We're here alone. I want my kids to like me. So if I express expectations and I kind of hold some boundaries, then, you know, it's going to be way too stressful. And I just can't handle the stress. And plus, I want my kids to like me. You know, what do you say to that person?
I'll say that's a spirit of fear that's trying to get a stronghold in your life. Because a lot of times you fear the abandonment. And we all do. Whether you're a child or an adult, we fear alienation and abandonment
sure.
because we don't want to be alone. But you know what? Kids want boundaries. They really do. They want boundaries. They want boundaries with consequences. They want to know that if I violate this,
right.
and look at this, we need to parent children the way God parents us.
Right.
He says all souls are mine, but the soul that sins is going to die. Now, we're not going to kill our children, but he's
yeah.
saying there are consequences.
There are times we'd like to.
But he said there will be consequences,
right.
but we still love God and he still loves us.
You know, it really is that mix between grace and discipline. He
yes.
shows amazing grace to
yes.
us, and he also shows us discipline with consistency
that's
as well.
Right.
And we have to actually pattern our parenting style after him, and we'll do a lot better. We'll do a lot better in the grace department, but we'll also do better in the being
that's
consistent
right.
with discipline.
That's right.
Now, speaking of discipline, and I know you've also written a book on managing conflict, but in your book, you have another principle about taming stress. Pretty tall order, and it's resolving conflicts. How do you do that, especially when it looks like the conflict is unresolvable?
The first thing you have to do is understand that confrontation is godly. Confrontation is the bridge from the conflict to the harmony. And confrontation really just means coming together face to face. We are commanded to confront. We have to confront the issues, because if you don't, they'll go underground. And this is my passion talking about this, because the things that you send underground become resentment. In fact, my definition of resentment is unresolved anger that has been resent to the inside. Mm. We need to be, as a family, to know how to keep the issues on the table. And I can tell you, I've met men, women who don't know how to confront because they think they're has to be hostility in it. It's as simple as saying, your behavior is negatively impacting me. When you do this, I feel this way, and I ask for a change in your behavior. That it sounds canned, but that's how it works.
Right.
And that's how Jesus told us to work it. He says,
yeah.
thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone.
Yeah.
You need to be able to talk it out and say, this is hurting me.
Right.
This is the impact that it's having on me, and I need it to stop.
Yeah. No, you know what? That's very, very good. And I think sometimes we think that's going to be so horrible. And a lot of times we're, you know, a sinner marries another sinner. They have sinnerlings. You know, we're going to bump into each other. But at the same time, we're afraid to confront because we don't want the other person to, you know, get upset with us or whatever. When in fact, the spiritual gift of exhortation is really a gift of confronting in some ways, both in a positive way and a negative way.
And again, there's nothing hostile in the definition of confrontation. It's kind of like that word diet that's got a bad rap.
Right.
But it's coming together face to face. And you want to do that because that is the key for the harmony that you want so that you're not stressed. You can be silent. Again, live in Shuresville. I can't believe he said that to me. He should have known that would have hurt my feelings. Maybe he didn't. We all have our sensitivities, our backgrounds, things that cause us to be more sensitive than others. I'm totally convinced that when people offend us, they didn't mean to. It's incumbent upon me to effect the reconciliation. And so I'm going to make it my responsibility to say you are negatively impacting me.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Roger, this is good stuff. Deborah Smith-Pagay with us. Her book is 30 Days to Taming Your Stress. More to come on Homeward. I'm Jim Burns.
Well, and Jim, what does the Apostle Paul remind us? As much as it pertains to you, as much as it pertains to each of us, live peaceably with all people. That's a great way to de-stress right there. And great to have Deborah Smith-Pagay with us here on the program talking about learning to control the stress in your life. Her book is called 30 Days to Taming Your Stress. And if you want more information on that book, you can Google it. It's available anywhere. She's written a number of books and you find them in supermarkets and airports and they're everywhere. But you can also go to homeward.com, hit the radio broadcast tab, and when you find the schedule listing today's program, you'll see that Deborah's name is hotkeyed, as we like to say. Click on that link there and it'll take you right to her website. You can learn more about her speaking, about her writing, and of course the books that she has published. We're going to take a brief time out here so we can all kind of de-stress a little bit. And as we continue, the conclusion of today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast. So glad you're with us.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
I am so hungry.
The food here is so good.
And healthy. That's important.
Right, Mom. The fried cheese sticks are just what the doctor ordered.
No, that's what you're ordering. I want onion rings.
Now, girls, how about a nice chicken salad?
Aw, you insist on going to the best burger joint in town and then expect us to eat rabbit food? No way. I want a double cheeseburger, chili fries, and the biggest piece of chocolate cake on the planet.
Yeah, well, you say that now, but tonight it's going to be,
how come my jeans are so tight?
I think as a parent, you have a responsibility to God, yourself, and your kids to establish and maintain healthy priorities, whether it be with your weight, your family, or your relationship with the Lord. If you need help getting your act together, read my tip sheet called Getting Your Priorities Straight. You can download a free copy from our website at homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Deborah Smith-Pagay with us. We're talking about learning to control the stress in your life. It's a continuing conversation. It's been a great conversation. Deborah is the author of many popular books, some great ones. 30 Days to Taming Your Tongue sold more than 200,000 copies. She's a popular speaker and has held many executive positions. Now she's a writer and a speaker. She lives in the Los Angeles area with her husband of 27 years, Darnell. I want to give you a case study in terms of the issue of releasing the past, because I think a lot of times that adds to the stress. And the situation is that thinking about a husband and a wife who have, you know, two kids, and the husband is just not a good communicator, and she just keeps resenting and resenting and resenting, and still holds to some of the things that he did some time ago. I was just talking with this woman. In some ways, sure, he's not the A-plus husband, but she's got to release the past, doesn't she?
She has to release it, and she needs to tell him the impact that his behavior had on her. Mm-hmm. That's important.
So you got
to
be
I was really hurt when you did that. Mm-hmm. And when you yell at me in that way, or when you disrespect me in front of the kids, I feel that you don't care. I know that you do, because you do other things and let me know that you do, but I feel, and it's a bad model for the kids. But in the meantime, she's going to be able to release that better if she gets it outside of her, what it is. Because again, you don't want to send anger underground, because anger is always buried alive, and it's going to come out in some way. You're going to eat too much, shop too much. You're going to do something to address that. Right. But what's important about unforgiveness is like a ball and a chain. It'll hold you back, and it holds you. It holds you back.
Right, it does.
It holds you back. And so that's why it's important to understand whatever has happened to me, God saw it before it happened. And he saw it even when it was happening. And if he chose not to stop it, this is something that was part of my destiny. I had to experience that. And hopefully, and ideally, it's going to cause me to go to another level in God.
Yeah.
And that's where I want to go. But I don't want to hold on to the past like that, because I know that it's negative energy. It's going to keep me stressed. Every time I replay that tape, I'm going to feel those same emotions that I felt when I was hurt originally.
Right. And it's important to choose not to let it control you. I learned that from
your
book.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so critical to do that. Now, you know, a lot of people say, you know, fine, but you don't live with me. You don't know my story. I've got some people around me that I call very draining people, VDPs. I also have VIPs, very inspiring people. But you talk about the fact that it's important for us to, at times, limit contact with what you call stress-producing people. Sometimes you can do that. Obviously, sometimes you can't because you're married to that person, or you know, that person, you know, wakes up and calls you mommy. You know, so but how do you deal with that?
How do you deal with people who cause you a lot of stress? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I always say limit your exposure, and of course, that's for people outside of your home.
Sure,
let's deal with those for a minute. I had someone who was cleaning my stove recently, and they were using Easy Off, and that's very toxic, but it's needed for the stove.
Yeah.
So I said, if it's a necessary relationship, I told her, I said, don't stand here and just inhale it. Just spray it and go do something else, then come back later and finish cleaning this part, because a lot of times you have to limit your exposure. But if the person is within the house, if the person lives with you, what do? Then you communicate. You communicate, and then you have boundaries. You say, you know what, if you're going to yell at me, I won't stay in the room with you. Or you have to set boundaries for the kids, as you said earlier, consistent consequences. Yeah. Because you have to take steps. You have to have the courage to implement the consequences. To say, if you're abusing me, I'm going to move out. Doesn't mean I'm going to get a divorce. I'm not going to put myself in this position. And that's what you have to do to manage yourself, manage your sanity, because you have to take control.
Yeah, no, and that's important. And, you know, in some ways, I kind of see you as our coach, helping somebody say, you know what, you got to make that decision. Because a lot of times they know the right decision.
Absolutely.
They don't have the courage. You've used that word a lot.
Yes.
They don't have the courage to make the decision. But something needs to push them. And hopefully it's not the worst negative thing where then
Absolutely.
They finally do it, but they do it in a preemptive strike, if you would, by
that's
making
right.
a right
that's
and a wise decision.
And that's where God comes in. We don't do it on our own. We're not independent contractors in this game of life.
Right.
We're servants of the Most High, who empowers us and tells us what we need to know and what we need to say.
I was talking to a college student not too long ago who didn't know what he wanted to do or where he wanted to go, and he's not walking with the Lord right now, and he knows the Lord. And I said, if I might be so blunt, you know, you could actually have God help you learn to discern where you should be going. But since you're choosing to do it on your own, it's kind of a gamble there, buddy.
Let me tell you, life is stressful when everything depends upon you, because we're so limited.
Yeah, you're
but
exactly
why not
right.
attach yourself to this omnipotent, omniscient source?
Right.
Man, what a resource.
I agree. It's a great idea. Yeah. And what's amazing is there are people, and you wrote about a person who had been married to an alcoholic and kind of an abusive man for 25 years. And at the same time, she, I think you used the word, exuded peace. And one of the things you talk about is, in a way to overcome stress and control stress, is to actually create a peaceful atmosphere, even in the midst of some tough times. Give me your input on that.
Well, see, you have to take your peace with you. You don't go and try to get it later. You have to. That's why it's important to get up in the morning and make a decision that I'm going to have a peaceful day. I don't care about the crazy drivers out there. I'm not going to sit there and fume all day long. I can't believe that guy just cut me off, that idiot.
Yeah.
You know, I can say, you know what? I don't know what his problem is, but I'm so glad that I'm safe and I'm not going to let him impact my day.
Right.
You have to make that decision, because if you don't, you'll find yourself retaliating or honking the horn or blinking the lights or whatever. But you have to be peaceful within yourself. You have made a decision that no matter what happens, I'm going to walk in the peace of God.
Yeah. You know, that's a great point. Roger, I've talked about this before, but this morning, and one of our staff people said, kind of, what's your secret? I said, I don't have any secrets. I write this most every morning. It's a scripture, Psalm 118:24. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Yes.
And I have to sometimes, as an act of the will, because maybe I don't feel that morning that I'm going to rejoice, but I'm going to acknowledge God in it, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And it's an act of the will. Some of this is an act of the will, because things are going to be thrown at us. We have to almost will it. And I'm not saying mind over matter stuff, but we have to almost will it to say, with God's help, I can get through this.
It is an act of your will, because it's God who works in you to will and to do. So God is working in your will to say, do this my way. But you can't be a slave to your emotions, like you just made me angry and therefore you're going to pay the price.
Right.
That's going to keep you stressed.
Right.
It's going to keep you stressed.
Exactly.
So you make a decision to say, let it go. As someone wrote a book not too long ago, it's called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff.
Yeah, I
you
love
know,
that.
It, and everything is small.
Yeah.
You got to just see that as all small stuff.
No, I love that. Well, let's talk about disappointments. How do we tame stress when we've really had some powerful and actually some personal disappointments in our life.
And I've had a few. I told a story in the book about a young man I was engaged to, and I really wanted to marry him. And I prayed, and I claimed all the scriptures, and I did everything the faith teacher said you could do, and God just said, no, you're not marrying him. Yeah. And you know what? I've learned about disappointment, and I don't allow myself to stay in disappointment too long, because the Bible says the Lord has purposed, and who can thwart him? Mm-hmm. And all the days ordained for me were already written in his book. So when I'm thinking, what happens in a disappointment, there was some plan that I had that I was pursuing, and it just didn't happen. And I have decided that I'm not going to allow myself to wallow in disappointment. Sure, it's natural to be disappointed, but I'm not going to stay there, because when I'm disappointed, what that is saying is I still want something that God didn't want me to have. I don't want to live like that. I want to want what he wants. And I'll say, God, even if I don't feel it in my emotions, I just, as an act of my will, as you said, I just accept what you've done.
Boy, that's a great thing. And you know what? I'm glad that you didn't marry that guy. I'm glad you married Darnell.
I
like that story.
Yes, yes.
You know, one of the most basic principles for taming stress involves something you used, and I underlined the word self-sabotaging behavior. Help us learn to stop self-sabotaging behavior.
Planning. We sabotage ourselves when we don't plan effectively. We don't get up in time to get to an appointment early. We're arriving on two wheels. We don't put our clothes out at night. We don't make the kids lunch at night. We have to plan. Even your own words can self-sabotage. I talk in the book about always programming yourself for running. I'm going to run to the store. I'm going to grab a bite to eat. I'm going to jump in the shower. I'm going to throw some clothes. You know, we're always programmed for rushing. And so that's why we're going to have to learn how to put our keys in the same place, get a routine that will de-stress you. Just have a routine, especially the older you get. Even if you're not, if you have kids and you know that you have to have a schedule, it has to be written down. Everybody's aware of it. Don't sabotage yourself by not planning. That's
great,
the key.
Great input. Thank you for being with us. Wonderful day.
My pleasure.
And that concludes part two of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with author Deborah Smith Pagay here on the Homeward Broadcast. We've been talking about learning to control the stress in your life. If you missed any part of this program, remember we archive all of our audio at homeward.com, and there's no subscription fee. Just go to the radio broadcast section. You'll find all of our programs, the Monday through Friday edition of the broadcast, the half-hour weekend, the one-hour weekend edition, and even our 60-second short feature. All of those audio clips are there for you at homeward.com. You can dig back and find other audio that you'd like to listen to. Just go to homeward.com.
Stress is the disease of the century. It's everywhere. We can't escape from it, but we can learn how to deal with it. I've been working with youth and family ministry for more than 30 years, and I can honestly say that I have never seen so many stressed out families before. Now, to be fair, many of the things we have our kids involved in are good. They're healthy, they're wholesome activities, and I have no problem with that fact. In fact, I commend you as a parent for taking the initiative to get involved in Little League and ballet lessons and youth group. However, when there's so much on your plate and you're always feeling like you're running ragged, well, that is when you are most susceptible to stress and fatigue, and that's when you become vulnerable to so many other types of issues. The breathless pace of modern living is leaving us overcommitted and underconnected. But I'm convinced there is something we can do to turn things around in this area. In Matthew 11:28-30, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls." Now, here's the best part. "For my yoke fits you perfectly, and the burden I give to you is light." Do you hear what Jesus is saying? Yes, each of us does have a burden to carry. However, the burden has been custom made to match our ability to carry it. Here's another way of looking at it. You will have stress in your life, and in fact, some stress is actually good for you. But God will never allow you to experience more stress than you can handle. So if you're feeling overwhelmed by stress right now, take the necessary steps today to get back under control. Now here's Roger with some information about a couple of resources that can help you in this particular area.
Yeah, Jim, what is it you like to say? Ruthlessly eliminate the stress in your life. And that's one of the building blocks for a solid family. And Jim has written a book about this called 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family. Want to recommend that one today. Also, faith conversations for families. One of the ways you can kind of lower the stress level in your home is to spend time in God's Word, to spend time talking about spiritual things and really impressing biblical principles upon your children. If you'd like ordering information for either of these series, outstanding books, or both. Just go to homeward.com. The books you're going to be looking for are 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family and Faith Conversations for Families. And when you order the books from Homeward, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. Jim got an email from a listener by the name of Chris who writes, "Thank you, Homeward, for your wonderful podcast. I don't have a regular life, per se, so I don't have a regular schedule. The podcasting allows me to listen to Homeward at my convenience, and we really appreciate having that wisdom in our home." And that's from Chris.
Well, I appreciate that. I don't think most of us have a regular life.
We don't have any regular listeners.
But I do appreciate the fact that people can listen online and through podcasting. Some people don't know what podcasting is, and yet thousands of people are actually podcasting the Homeward broadcast. And I think more and more people are going to do that.
So that's
a great thing. I appreciate Chris writing to us. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us again next time. Till then, I'm Jim Burns, and I appreciate you tuning in to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.